it says, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continuously. That is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
Praise be to the Lord.
The Lord is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
The next song we simply want to sing that says he has done great things for me. And before we sing that song, is there anything that you can recall that God has done for you?
Thank you.
Then there ought to be an inward change. shining, a brightness about you. Amen. Amen. That calls people to take notice. Yeah. Amen. That you have something that they don't have. Yeah. Scripture has already been discussed about the lampstand in detail. Its design in Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 to 40, talks about how meticulous the lampstand is. And the instructions that govern it was found in Exodus chapter 27, verses 20 to 21, and its placement in the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40, 24 and 25. God was very meticulous. He didn't just say, put it anywhere. He didn't just say, just make it out of any old thing. He didn't just require any old thing to go into it. God was very meticulous about the instruction that went into its construction, its placement, as well as its usage. And so in this command, we have three orders or three commands from God, which represents the principles that are true in any service for the Lord. They are the purity, the pain, and perpetuity. The three P's. Purity, pain, and perpetuity. The Israelites were to bring olive oil for the lamps. This olive oil was to be pure. This means that the oil would be made of picked berries without any intermixture of wood, dust, or twigs. Obviously, pure oil will never will only give a better service in the lamps. It will only burn better and will not cause unnecessary smoke or fumes. Purity is always best for the service of God. We want to shine best. We don't want anything that's going to pollute our service. We don't want anything that's going to dilute our service. Why? Because the purity that lies within us represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I always tell some people that the Holy Spirit needs something to work with. Amen. As you prepare yourself for service, the Holy Spirit in you shines brightly. Amen. And so we seem to have forgotten the fact in our day that God requires the very best that we have. Especially is seen in the fact that some of our churches have lessened the requirements on character and for its leaders. There's a decline in purity, and this decline will oftentimes dim the light of our testimony for Jesus Christ. Purity comes out of a genuine encounter with the true and living God. Through means of grace, we encounter God through those means of grace that inhabits his presence, through our prayer life, through our scripture devotions, our meditations, and those areas and those means of grace enable us to come into the very presence of God so that God can enhance us so that we are doing the very best we can in Jesus' name. It is through faithfulness or faithful adherence to those things which enables the true servant, the true child of God's oil to burn brightest. I don't know about you, but I want to be the best that I can be for Jesus. I want to burn brightly. I want to be the very shiniest instrument that he has. The Holy Spirit, as I said before, always needs something to work with. Even when we think there's nothing in the tank, somehow the resources of our souls, a soul that's been nurtured, a soul that's been healed, a soul that's been delivered, finds strength and wields itself to the source of divine enablement. In other words, when your soul has been nurtured by God, when you have been in his presence, even when there are times of depression, when there is times of laxity in your life, when there's times when there might be appear that there's an absence of the presence of God, your soul has a memory. Your soul will revert back to those things it learned. Amen. We're creatures of habit. Your soul, even before you came to Jesus,
yes,
had a regimen.
Yes.
There were things that you were gravitating toward,
yes,
that even were not of God. Your soul grasped for those things. But now that you got some saved,
yes,
now that you are living the life of Jesus Christ,
yes,
now that your soul has been nurtured by the word,
yes,
now that you have given your soul to prayer and you have been contemplative prayer, you've given yourself to fasting, you've given yourself to the graces of God, even when there is an absence in your life, your soul will gravitate back toward those things,
yes,
that nurtured it in Jesus.
Amen.
Your soul has a way of directing you to the things that nurtured you. The things that have given you revival in the past.
Yes.
When you're running on empty,
yes,
your soul has a way of directing you back to the source of enablement.
Yes.
Once you find your way back to the source of enablement, you'll find strength.
Amen.
Amen. You'll find nourishment. It's like your car. When your car runs rough,
uh-huh,
amen, you know to take it to the repair shop.
Amen.
Amen. You know to take it to the man who knows how to repair your car.
Yes.
You're the same way. If you run empty, you know you need to go back to the source of enablement so that you can run to your optimum. The source is the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord has been your deliverer.
Yes.
The Lord has been your healer. He has been the strength. He's been your fortress. He has been all that you can ask for or even want. The Lord has been that for you.
Amen.
So your soul has a way of gravitating back there.
Yes.
Then there is the pain.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to experience pain.
Amen.
The olive oil was to be beaten. Scripture said to be beaten.
Yes.
This was a particular way of getting the oil from the olive, which assured a more pure oil.
Yes.
The word beat means to beat or to crush. It suggests pain. Symbolically, it represents the humbling blows of God's people experienced in trials of life, which appear on the surface to ruin, but which in reality only refine.
Yes.
Come on now, when you have been through something,
all right, yes,
if you've been through something,
yes,
the best comes out of you.
Yes, God. Yes.
Whenever you have been up against something, the best always comes out of you when your backs are against the wall.
Yes.
Amen. You always, when we were in athletics, the coach always pushed us because the coach knew our potential.
Yes.
Always pushed us, and when we were against, our backs were against the wall, brought out the best in the team.
Yes.
Brought out the best in the team.
Yes.
And sometimes God requires us to go through rough times,
yes,
so that the pure oil is beaten out of us. Why? So that we can shine brightly.
Yes.
So that our testimony has relevance. So that our testimony is authentic.
Yes.
So that when we stand in the name of Jesus,
yes,
we stand as a testament and we stand as a witness,
yes,
of, that God, of what God can do.
Yes.
That God brought me out of some things.
Yes.
That I've been beaten and I have been to a place of degradation.
Yes.
And it's through that the oil that was within me came to the fore,
uh-huh,
came to the surface. And that bright, that shines brightly now in my life.
Yes, amen.
Have you ever had something that was contaminated that just didn't work right?
Yes.
It flickered.
Yes.
It flickered, it smoked, it
yes,
it didn't seem to burn well, and see it, but when you got the real stuff,
yes,
the real stuff costs more.
Yes.
But the real stuff broke, you know, ran better.
Yes.
And when you had one of those old cars, it used to be those old cars ran on the premium gas.
Yes.
Amen. When you put the regular gas in it, it would put and sputter, and you would hear the pinging and the knocking, uh-huh, and the engine wouldn't go, and it would sputter, and you say, well, I don't know what's wrong with the car. You take it to the dealer says, you got the wrong gas.
Amen.
You need the premium stuff.
Yes.
You need the high test.
Yes.
You need the stuff that burns on the high octane level.
Right.
That's how we are. We need the stuff that burns on the high octane level so you can get the best performance.
Yes.
When you get the best performance for God, God gets the glory.
Yes.
Why? Because everything that we say, everything that we do in service and in worship is to give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Not just the praise, the honor, and the glory, but the best praise,
yes,
the best honor,
yes,
in your life that was hindering you, but it was only through the perseverance of going through, and that God brought you that way, that your oil now shines brighter. Your oil shines better than it ever shined before, because there was nothing there giving it impediment. You've been beaten. Some of you being beaten right now. Maybe you're going through something you can't understand quite why you're going through it. And you can't even, you've been praying, you've been asking God, God, why me? Why now? Lord, haven't I been faithful? Lord, haven't I always been there for you? Haven't I been loyal? But why me, God? Why right now? And all the times, all the places, why right now? God is saying that there's some oil in you that needs to be beaten out, so that if I can get the best oil out of you, you'll shine brighter. You'll shine brighter. In other words, you'll have some credibility. In other words, you'll have some integrity. In other words, you'll be able to talk about your experience as if it belonged to you, as if you owned it. Why? Because you do. You've been through there. You've gone through the trial. You've gone through tribulations. You've paid the price. You've passed the test. And now you're able to stand in the Lord, stand strong in the Lord. Let this fact encourage you when a trial seems to crush the very life out of you. This ought to be an encouragement. It is when you relinquish your will in exchange for the will and the mind of Christ that you can see Christ illuminating in your character. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Not my will and my desire in the flesh, but I need the mind of Christ so that I can walk the life of Christ, so I can live the life of Christ, so that the oil in me is all about Christ and not about me. I'm not blowing my horn. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm not talking about how grand I am. If I boast in anything, I boast in the Lord. I boast in the salvation that I have in Jesus. I boast in the fact that I'm free in the Lord. I'm boasting the fact that he who the Son sets free is free indeed, and I'm free to be all that he called me to be. I'm free to be all that he created me to be. I'm free to testify. I'm free to witness of the goodness of God, because his grace endures forever. Pain necessitates sacrifice. Sometimes great sacrifice, which isn't always easy. A sacrifice which comes out of a sense of great need and not out of abundance. Oftentimes, we get it confused. We believe a sacrifice comes out of all that we have. All that I have, I give unto you, Lord. But a great sacrifice comes out of your need. When you give out of your need, Lord, I know I need this for something, but Lord, I'm going to give it. This is a that's a sacrifice. When I don't have to give, when I don't have any time, when all of my time is run out, now I know that I have made a commitment. That's a sacrifice. When I've given all that I've got and I don't have anything else to give but the meager that I do have, that's a sacrifice. I don't give out of the abundance. See, when you give out of your abundance, that's not a sacrifice. But when you give out of your need, you give it till you feel it. There's a pain in giving. Somebody said, give until it hurts. Ouch! But when we give and we sacrifice out of our need and not out of our abundance, God recognized the sacrifice and service, and then he shows up with an abundance. See, when we give out of our abundance, there's no room for God to add on to that because we already have enough. We've given what we can spare. And because of what we can spare, we've given, we don't miss it. But when you give out of your need, your time, your resources, your energy, when you give out of your need, that's when God brings the replenishment. In other words, when you press your way out somewhere, when you press your way out the Bible study, when you press your way out to prayer, when you're running against it and you press your way out, even though your body is depleted, somehow when you get there, God has something for you because you pressed your way. And you leave being replenished. You leave saying that that was a blessing for me. The fact that I pressed my way, if I had not pressed my way, I would have not been able to get the blessing that God had for me. That's happened oftentimes. People come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know what it was. I wasn't going to come today. You know, the devil spoke to me and said, don't go. And I told the devil, don't go. And even though every time, at every turn, there was something that tried to discourage me in the coming. Maybe I was on my way out the door and the phone rang. Somebody tried to keep me on the phone. Then after I got off the phone, I got out in the car wouldn't turn over. But somehow, when I was about to give up, it just turned over. Then the traffic kind of kept me back, but I kept on anyway. And even though I got there late, I didn't miss the blessing that God had for me. My name was written all over the blessing. And the fact that my name was written all over the blessing, the fact that I pressed on despite the obstacles, Satan was a liar. Because what God had for me was able to carry me the rest of the way. See, sometimes you don't know how you gonna make it. You don't know how you gonna make it the rest of the way. You don't have the strength, you don't have the energy, you don't have the resources, and you don't know how you going to make it. But when you give out of your need, God shows up. He always takes care of his own. He takes care of his own and he gives you everything you need to make it through and then some. Sacrifice. Then he talks about this perpetuity act. The lamps were to burn continually. This means faithfulness in service. It is required in stewards that a man be found, listen to this, faithful. And this is gender sensitive. This means men and women. Amen. That we were found faithful. Few folks want this kind of commitment. That is why you cannot get many to serve for a very long time in churches today. But God commands perpetual service, not temporary service. In other words, this lamp was to burn perpetually, forever and ever and ever. This was a long and ongoing burning. See, the burning never got tired. The burning was to continue to burn forever and ever and ever, because when you get weak, when you get weary, that's the time when strength comes in. When you get weak and you get weary, that's why Paul says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you reap if you faint not. In other words, when you feel like throwing in the towel, when you feel like quitting, and I want you to know you can't quit God. Amen. You can't quit God. You can't run from God. You can't get away from God, because God has a way of sending the spirit of conviction. You can't shut that off. Spirit of conviction come upon you, you got to do something about it. Amen. God is calling you to a higher calling. Yes. He's calling you to perpetual service. Yes. This is long, tending, faithful service.
Come on, Pastor.
That means if nobody else show up, you show up.
Yes.
Now, that means you do your part if nobody else does their part.
Yes.
That means if you made a commitment, you stick to the commitment that you made. Yes. You allow that flame to continue to burn.
Yes.
You allow that oil to be replenished. You allow that oil to strengthen you. You allow that oil to encourage you. No matter what comes your way, no matter what obstacles come, no matter what the naysayers say, no matter if you never get your name called, if you never get a pat on the back, if you never get a trophy, if you never get anything, God sees and God knows. So women, I want you to know this morning, as you take the vow, if you take the rededication vows to serving the Lord for another year, I want you to know that this service is an ongoing service. It's a perpetual service. You don't let your guard down. You don't sit down. You don't ease up. You keep your foot on the pedal. You keep on running. You keep on going on and on and on for perpetual. Because this isn't about just right here and right now. This is about all time and eternity. One day we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account done in this body. God ain't gonna ask you how much money you had in the bank account. He ain't gonna ask you where you lived at. He's not even gonna ask you your position, your title. He's not gonna ask you how popular you were. He's gonna wanna know how faithful were you to the task given you. How faithful were you to the calling given you? So a lot of folks come and say, well, Pastor, I've called God. The Lord has called me to do X, Y, and Z. And I said, okay, what are you doing? See, the folks that are most busy are the people you don't have to remind. And oftentimes in churches, there's only, what they say, 20% of the people do 80% of the work or the service. I'm not going to ask about the other 80. The question I'll ask you is, how much oil you have in the tank? What oil are you burning in the lampstand? Is your oil sputtering? Does your oil need a change? Every now and then you got to take your car in for an oil change. Amen. That oil gets dirty, you got to take it in for a change. You got to get that thing lubed up right. Every now and then we got to be honest before the Lord and say, Lord, we need a refilling. Lord, I need a fresh anointing. Lord, I need some power. I need something that I don't have. Lord, I'm running on empty. I'm trying, Lord. I'm tearing, oh God. Lord, I'm doing all that I can, but Lord, I need an oil change. I need a refilling. There's one filling, but there are more refillings. He fills you over and over and over and over and over. It's just like wisdom. Lord said, ask for wisdom because God has a lot of it. He gives it liberally. Ask more of the Spirit, for God will give it to you more and more, over and over, in abundance. His presence will be with you and go with you. So whatever the task is, whatever the deed is, there are no little me's and no big I's in Jesus. Be faithful to whatever that task is. Do it to the glory of God. Do it to the honor of God. Give God glory in it, and God will give you glory later on. Amen? Amen. People were responsible for the oil. Keep that light burning. Remember your call. Remember who you serve. Remember what you proclaimed to be in God. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. In other words, your light is that which shines so folks all over the earth can see. In other words, how do they know they need salvation if they don't see the light? The light shines toward direction of salvation. If you're the light that is shining, they know the way to salvation. They know the way to salvation. They know the direction to salvation because of you, the light. Bible says, for ye are sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons and daughters of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine, listen to this, as lights in the world. We used to sing the song, walk in the light, beautiful light. There you go. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the light that lights the world. I want to encourage you women today. Let your light so shine that God is glorified, Father's glorified, that men, women, and boys that ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Stand on your feet. Being fit for service.
means there are instruction that we do it God's way. That we do it God's way. Why? Because we have been bought with a price. We have been called out so that we've been called in. Out of the darkness into the marvelous light. We have been paid for. Bought. Price has been paid. We don't own ourselves. We belong to Him. But perhaps there's someone here today. You don't know Jesus. You don't know the price that's been paid for you. Perhaps you're viewing us over the internet. Perhaps the word has gripped your heart. You don't know Jesus. I want you to know you can be saved right where you are.
Yes.
Right in your living room, right in your bedroom.
Yes.
Wherever you may be viewing this, you can be saved right where you are. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But there's good news.
Yes.
Jesus died for the ungodly.
Yes. Yes.
If you need Jesus, right where you are, slip up your hand. Allow me to pray for you. If you're not saved, you need Jesus, the light of the world, that you might in turn be lights shining in the darkness. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and answer it or open up, I will come in and sup." In other words, I will have fellowship with him and he with me. The problem with the world is that the world is without fellowship with God. You don't fellowship with God on your terms. You fellowship with God on his terms. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the terms that we fellowship with God on. He made the way. He came into the world to save the world, that we might have eternal life, that we might have fellowship, that we might have abundant life in Him, so that we might have access to the Father. Is there one? You need prayer. I want you to know that the altar's open. I want to invite you to the altar right now. If you need prayer, please special prayer. The prayer of the righteous is available much. If you're sick in your body, you're going through trials. Perhaps you want to stay in proxy for a loved one. Someone in need today. Songwriter says, "Not my mother, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." I want you to know today that God is a right now God. He understands your needs. He understands your heart. And He wants you to know that He wants to be your heart's desire. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into your presence once again. We thank you, Lord, for access to the Holy of Holies, the blood of the Lamb. Lord, that we might come boldly before your throne of grace, that we might obtain help in the time of need. Lord, we pray for these who are here, especially now, God. Lord, that you meet every need according to your word and by your will. Lord, for those who are sick and afflicted in their bodies, Lord, experience pain, Lord. Touch them right now, God. Heal them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Lord, those who need strength, Lord, in their spirit, oh God. Lord, encourage them. Let them know that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, that you'll be strength to them, God, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you'll the manifestation may not be right away. Walk in the truth of the scripture. Walk in the truth of God. Hold on to the promise that he made. Hold on to the promise. May not come when you want it, but it always shows up. He's never late. Slip up your hand. Amen. One of the ushers will be happy to serve you. Amen. In the aisle. God has been so good. Somebody else who has it a lot worse. You know, sometimes I hate turning on the news because you ask yourself the question, can it get any worse? And just when you think it's gotten worse, somebody tops that. Folks cold in their house, been cold all winter long. Some of us been cold a couple days and think we're gonna die.
Thanks. Thank you. And good morning.
Good morning.
That was a wonderful message, perfect for our direction. Thank you. This morning we are having the rededication of an installation service of the Eastwick United Methodist Women. And the United Methodist Women is a faith-based organization of lay women of the United Methodist Church. We are organized for mission, and our members are committed to growing as disciples of Jesus Christ in community with other women, building lives of women, children, and youth. United Methodist Women has been in existence, in mission, for more than 140 years. And any woman who wants to belong and to participate in the global mission of the church through United Methodist Women and who commits herself to the purpose can become a member. The purpose is to know God and experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ, to develop a creative, supportive fellowship and expand concepts of mission throughout the global ministries of the church. Yes. Here at Eastwick, we are blessed with an exceptional group of women, both active and inactive, who has laid it on their heart to provide support to various entities at the conference level, in the church, the community, and around the world. And just to give you some information on our accomplishments for the year 2013, the United Methodist Women provided the following: $300 paid to PICO on behalf of the Mission House, $360 paid to Adopted Family in Malawi, Africa, through the Heart Ministry and the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference of the United Church. We met a $500 pledge to missions for the conference. We collected over 400 items of clothing and delivered to conference in gathering and gave a $100 donation. We donated school supplies for the People's Emergency for women and children, donated clothing to homeless veterans, as well as complete dinners through Gail Washington. Amen. Through aid to friends, more than 250 dinners were donated to St. Barnabas Church for shut-ins. Amen. Monetary gifts or plants given to members of the congregation at various times due to sickness, death, or emergency needs, as well as desserts donated when needed for family repasts. We adopted a single parent with two children through Pathway for Christmas, and we received a wonderful thank you for our support. Monetary gift given to one family in the congregation for Christmas. Our funds are obtained by annual dues of $50 paid by active members, as well as donations received from the congregation and fundraisers. And all monies are used for missions only. So at this time, I would just like to introduce the officers of the United Methodist Women. And I ask that you please come forward when I call your name. I am the president. My name is Janice Green. Our vice president is Linda Pickett. Secretary is Ann Daniel. Treasurer, Joyce Brown. Financial secretary is Myrtle Cannon. And chaplain, Doris Hutchinson. Now, what we want to do is invite all of the United Methodist Women to come forward. That's all women to come forward, to be charged by our pastor, Pastor Roberts. Thank you.
And when you know want to.
Coins, but it's some goodies in there that, you know, with joy. So thank you from all of us. Was that a rendition of Happy Birthday you were working on? I know many of you have cards and wishes you could present them